Good day once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for rejoining us on today's segment of Christian Conservative Radio with your hosts, Pastor Bob Peterson and myself, Spokane City Councilman Mike Fagan. How are you getting along today, Pastor Bob?
I'm doing great. Great today, Mike. I can't talk again. Is this 2 weeks in a row? I don't know. Here I am. I'm ready to go. I'm happy.
There you go. I mean, that's the key right there. You're happy. I mean, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, and that's why we're so happy. We're so ecstatic that we're having a little bit of a problem actually expressing it, aren't we?
That's correct.
Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for rejoining us here on 106.5 FM every noontime Saturday, as well as 5:30. And I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen, it's working. It is working big time, because I'll tell you what, we are having some success here in inspiring and in motivating fellow Christians and others out there to get up off your duff. Get out of that chair while you still got the ability to do so. Get reengaged in your local communities, your local government. And that's what Christian Conservative Radio is all about. We are all about identifying and developing those people in your own local communities there that you feel can become and would become good Christian conservative leaders.
Well, you know, Christian Conservative Radio, we believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible, and Christian values. You know, we've laid out a mission statement, and it's to bring together and empower like-minded Christians who will be able active in safeguarding our freedom and way of life in our cities, counties, states, and country. These like-minded Christians will unite under the auspices of the Holy Bible, prayer and fellowship, and the Christian Conservative Creed. Well, I'll tell you, Mike, we wrote the Christian Conservative Creed a long time ago. We don't want it to replace anything to do or supersede anything of God, the triune God, the Bible, or anything like that. But these are just a few things that bring us together.
Oh, you bet. You bet. And I'm sure everybody out there will agree that our Christian Conservative Creed is a set of values that all Christians and other folks can rally around. And we believe in the triune of God, the Father, His only Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Freedom. The Constitution, states' rights, and yes, folks, we are going to be touching on states' rights today. Justice, individual rights, the right to life, marriage, and I will be clear, the union of one man and one woman, personal responsibility, national security, fiscal responsibility, and finally, support for Israel. And I'll tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen, when you get that opportunity to do so, as we always strongly encourage it, you got to log on and check this organization out, www.rallyright.org. Again, that'll be rallyright.org. If you can't do the internet thing, folks, please feel free to pick up that phone and dial 208-987-0005. Again, 208-987-0005. And I'll tell you what, folks, when you do log on, you are going to be party to over 5,000 other people who have logged on, given us some contact information, have helped us amass huge victories in conjunction with our Lord over in the state of Idaho, as well as right here in Spokane County.
Well, it's important, you know, we identify who Christian conservative leaders are. What does Christian mean? You believe in the Bible. You believe in the triune God, all the things that go along with it. But, you know, Mike, I don't understand it. Some Christians nowadays are supporting abortion. You know, they're saying, I'm Christian. I support abortion. You know, they support gay marriage. All these things that are so contrary against the Word of God and everything that God has established for us, you know. And then some people claim to be conservative, mm-hmm. you know, but then they're not Christian. And so we kind of put the words Christian conservative together. You're Christian, but you're going to hold to the values.
Absolutely.
And you're going to stand by those values. And so we identify who Christian conservative leaders are. Later on, we have a guest with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Christian conservative creed and states' rights of the Christian conservative creed. But it's just so important, Mike, as we go on, to just remember that, you know, God gives us the increase. He does all these things. And if we seek Him, if we seek God, He'll be found of you. Mm-hmm. You know, He'll be there. And, you know, a lot of times in the Bible, though, we get discouraged. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. In other words, we're pressed on every side, but if we're in God, we're not going to be crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. In other words, we're like, man, what is going on with this country? But, you know, even though we're perplexed, we don't need to be in despair, because we know that God has His final plan. You know, it's all going to come together. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. They may come after with everything you've got. And Mike, you've been persecuted so much on the City Council of Spokane for your Christian beliefs and standing for righteousness. They've come after you with everything they got. But you know what? Do you feel forsaken?
Not at all, because I'll tell you something, Pastor Bob, and I mean, I have explained this to you over and over again. I should say proclaim, you know, with the Lord, anything is possible, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I'll tell you something, Pastor Bob and I, we work hard to make sure that you folks are given that opportunity to access that resource. And those guests that we do feature here on Christian Conservative Radio, those are people that exemplify the power of one, or maybe I should refer to it as the power of two.
Yes.
We're talking about the person and the Lord. Telling you, you know, again, ladies and gentlemen, when you stand by the truth, you have nothing to be afraid of.
Well, that's it. You know, the final thing here is struck down but not destroyed. Even if they come to destroy us and take our flesh and bones and destroy us, you know, we're not destroyed because we have the ever-living Spirit of God inside of it that he's given it to us. Look at Paul in the Bible. He did all of these things. He went to all the people, and they finally killed him, you know. But look at today. He's more powerful than he was 2,000 years ago in the Lord, because the word of what Paul did and what he did for the Lord and how much he loved the Lord still exemplifies today, you know. And so the scripture is true. So we don't need to worry about anything. Stay out of fear, you know. Fear destroys you. If you get into fear, you're going down fast.
Oh, you bet.
You know, so when all these things come against you, just say, hey, the Lord's got it in control. I'm trusting him.
You betcha. Well, I'll tell you something, Pastor Bob. I definitely want to remind a lot of the Christians out there and others, you know, we tend to speak to Republicans out there, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let me go ahead and quote a Republican from the 1980s. His name was Ronald Reagan. He was our 40th U.S. president. The time has come to turn to God and reassert our trust in him for the healing of America. Our country is in need and ready for a spiritual renewal.
That's right. And I'll tell you, God's going to give the increase, and he's looking for those who are going to stand in the gap.
That's right.
And as all you got to say is, hey, you know, I'm going to stand up, and the Lord's with me.
You bet.
And just go forward, you know, and then see what the Lord can do for you. Hey, we can't do it by flesh and bones, you know. It's by spirit. And so you got to trust in God and what he's going to do. And I've seen victory after victory when we surrender. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect, you know. Sometimes I get into where I think, oh, yeah, I'm so great. I'm so perfect. I can do this, you know, and then you go flat on your face.
That's right.
Because you got to just, you know, you got to go out there and stand the gap and let the Lord guide you and go before you and what you're going to do. And so we saw it a lot in the victory that happened in Idaho here in the primary in May and in the November election. And it was a great confirmation of the last year's 6 years of work. The precinct committeemen, we got precinct committeemen elected. It started developing. Now there's just one thing coming out. We don't have the time to talk about everything that has happened. But now they're writing resolutions over central committees and all of these grassroots people who've got involved, who've never done anything in their life before and in politics or been involved, all of a sudden, after a few years, they've become great and strong in what God's had them do. And that's part of our guest today. And Mike, I think we should go on to that guest there.
Oh, you bet. Well, I'll tell you something, Pastor Bob. It's my understanding that this gentleman started out at just a regular guy, you know, not looking to really do anything. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and it's like, bang, what's going on around here? I got to do something. And you reach out to the Lord, and the Lord has got that plan for you. He is speaking to you. And this is a gentleman that definitely heard the Lord loud and clear. He started out as a precinct committeeman in the state of Idaho, and now he happens to be a state representative. No, and I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, again, and it exemplifies that power of two that I was speaking about, because, you know, God has that plan for us. And when we listen to him, when we open our hearts to him, he will speak to us. He will instill that spirit that we need to make us strong, give us that wisdom, et cetera, and so forth. So please, let's welcome Mr. Ron Mandive to Christian Conservative Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you betcha.
Well, Ron, you know, where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Kellogg, Idaho, mining town, small community, not a lot of traffic. It was a simple life, close to the natural resources, natural resource-based economy. The mining and logging were the main industries there. My father was a mining engineer. He graduated University of Nevada, Bureau of Mines, and ended up as an engineer for the Bunker Hill Mine. So our family moved there when I was 5 years old, actually. So from then on, that's been my home until I moved to Coeur d'Alene.
Well, Ron, I personally know you, and I know your family there. And, you know, your family, you're a Christian leader. You're a Christian man. You believe in Jesus Christ. Isn't that so?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah, and your family, I know your family. They're all following Jesus Christ.
And what a blessing that is. I do know families that are not so fortunate, and I feel truly blessed and honored that my children do know the Lord, because at the end of it all, that's probably the most important thing we can do is instill the love of God in our children and our grandchildren.
And I know your son Dirk, boy, I'll tell you, when we started up Rally Right years ago, he was the hardest worker. He walked 100 miles to help get precinct committeemen elected and get people, and now he's doing more work than ever before, and he serves on the Central Committee too as a precinct committeeman,
Youth committeeman.
I'm sorry there.
The State Central Committee.
That's the State Central Committee, yes. And so he's got that position there, and that is fantastic. And so I guess you got some grandchildren now, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have four wonderful grandchildren. Luckily for me, they all live in the Coeur d'Alene area, and it truly is a blessing to be able to spend time with them. I'm very fortunate for that. And I will add that they are the primary reason that I'm in this game, because as I travel around Boise and different things, people ask me, why are you here? Why are you state representative? Why did you run? And it's because I'm concerned for the future for my children and grandchildren and yours as well in this nation. So my hope and dream is that we can preserve this great nation.
Oh, you betcha. Well, I'll tell you something. We're going to kind of shift gears here a little bit there, Ron, and we're going to, you know, the last couple of weeks we've kind of devoted to this thing that is sweeping the nation. I mean, we're talking about the federalization of our education system. It is known as Common Core. Now, last week we kind of took a little bit of a break, and we did so because we're out there seeking semi-experts, experts on the subject matter here that can address to our listening audience, not only in Idaho, but also in Washington State. And I understand that you've got some things in the works right now with regard to education.
I do. I'm actually on the Education Committee. I do serve on three high-powered committees in the legislature, the Education Committee, the Environment, Energy, and Technologies Committee, and the Resources Committee. One of the important roles that the committees play is that when we start session, about the first 3 weeks, we review the rules. It's important to discuss the rules because Common Core came into Idaho as a rule. It was presented by Tom Luna, the Education Committees, and basically said this is just a mechanism to make education a little more accountable, and we'll raise the standards. Everybody was in favor of raised standards, so they accepted Common Core. It was never voted on by the legislature. It just came in as a rule. And unfortunately, executive agencies write rules when the legislature's not in session, and they have the same impact as law. So the law, basically, for Common Core entered Idaho through rules.
Oh, you bet.
This Common Core, man, it's just a hot-button subject right now. And I'll tell you, I just saw Jeb Bush announcing running for president, and one of his top three things is talking about Common Core.
Oh, my Lord.
And so it's just, it is a dangerous thing, Common Core.
I believe it is. There's so many, at so many levels, I think it's dangerous. For one is federalization of the education system. It's important to notice that back when Jimmy Carter started the Department of Education, America tested number 3 in the world as far as our abilities in education. Ever since then, we're down to 33. Maybe if you're doing something that doesn't work, maybe you should quit. Maybe we should lose the U.S. Department of Education. I think it'd be a step in the right direction.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, maybe we ought to boil it down to, you know, what President Obama said about our relationship with Cuba. You know, we did the same thing over and over again for 50 years, expecting a different result.
I believe that's the definition of insanity, isn't it?
It is.
Well, it is. Well, Ron, you know, I want to go back just a little bit here, though, you know, before we go on to what you're working on with the education, because you've got a really great plan that's coming up here. But what is a state representative? How did you get started in politics? How did you get all the way up to becoming a state representative?
Well, as I mentioned before, it's primarily for concern over the future for our kids and our grandkids. It started out when Walt Minnick was elected in Idaho, a Democrat in the Idaho's first congressional district. It was a little disturbing. I know that I supported the other candidate. I thought Bill Sally was a great candidate. The Republican Party was quite concerned. The Republican Party abandoned him. So anyway, there were some issues there. We wondered if he can get elected in our district. Idaho, which is supposed to be the reddest of the red states, is in trouble, even though he would be considered a conservative on the Democrat side. So my son went to a rally right meeting. He got involved there. The opportunity was presented about running as a precinct committeeman, which
you
I had never heard of.
You didn't want to do that, did you?
I mentioned that if you could find no one else, and I will warn people that are listening that if, never say that. If you say, if you, I will do it if you can't find anybody else. Well, people stop looking when you say that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so you got into that position.
I did. And then 2 years later, a door opened. I was encouraged by some people. I felt like that there again, I felt like the Lord was calling me to run as a state representative. So I told my wife that. I said, you know, I think I'm called to run for this. And she actually said she thought I was crazy. And a long story boiled down, I said, I think I'm supposed to do this. She said, well, I tell you what, if you're supposed to do this, let's use the George Mueller approach. George Mueller ran a number of orphanages in England. And what he said was, if God wants these orphanages to be there, he will make them happen. So he never asked for money. And I can say that in my political career, I've not asked for money. I simply operate on faith. I told her, well, I agree with that. That makes sense. We've been blessed in our life. We'll put $3,000 or $4,000 of our own money and start this. And if it dries up, it dries up. We'll just take it from there.
So you only won by a few votes 2 years
ago. On the primary, that's correct. I won by 9 votes. It was very close. My opponent entered the race about 2 months ahead of time. I entered on the very last possible day to enter that race.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. It had to be faxed in, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
I remember.
And I didn't
that.
Know how to do it. A lot of things lined up.
You don't know this, Ron, but I called 3 state representatives
to
get you to run. Okay.
I do know that. But
yeah,
I also,
and, you know, let's not discount the fact that I'm sure that Ron's a huge believer in every vote counts.
That's true. And I will say that night I mentioned to a couple people that I was thinking about running, and one of the people I mentioned to happened to have the forms I needed in his car. So things seemed like they were lined up to be that way, and here I am. So apparently I am supposed to be there.
Well, Ron, you know, it's just now you had a victory 2 years ago, but you had a victory now, too.
And actually, I've been challenged every time I've run. I've run 3 times as a precinct committeeman. I've been challenged each time. I've been challenged in the primary both times as a state representative, and I've been challenged in the general. And I thought this last time, this because all I've been doing all summer is campaigning, yeah. Seems like. But nonetheless, we prevailed. We got like 65 or plus percent in the primary and over 70% in the general. So I guess I am representing the people in my district.
Well, I don't want to take any more time away from talking this education thing, but just real quick in short words, what is a state representative and what do you do?
Well, basically, we're apportioned by population throughout the state, and it's our job to go down there and represent our district. And when we were at our chamber tour, the speaker mentioned that we all represent different districts, and I've thought about that some, and the reality is there are Democrat districts in our state, there are conservative districts, and there are moderate districts. And so we all represent people, different factions in the state, and it all comes together, and somehow it works as we pass laws and we basically try to do the people's business.
Well, that's it.
Oh, you bet. Well, you know, and let's kind of touch base back on the committee assignments that you have. You know, you are on the education committee. You are discussing right now an education savings account in lieu of the Common Core. And, you know, folks, a little bit more about Common Core that I've been able to gather here over the last couple of weeks, and that is this. You know, all indications at this particular point that there are a lot of aspects of Common Core that actually come from communist countries, ladies and gentlemen. There are aspects of Common Core that would have no numbers in your mathematics books. Very interesting. It's not all about getting the answer right. It's all about figuring out how you were going to get to that answer, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Our children, to various degrees, are being exposed to the homosexual agenda, the transgender agenda here with Common Core. And as well, I think one of the most nefarious things about Common Core is the data mining that occurs with Common Core. And what I'm talking about. Your children are going to be subject to surveys. These surveys are going to be asking questions about what kind of religion you practice, what kind of TV and radio you might watch and listen to. Are there discussions going on in the house? And if so, what are they about? Does the household have guns? Am I getting your attention now, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, I'll tell you. Well, you know, Ron, you know about Common Core, but I'll tell you, the one thing that you're working on right now, and can you tell us about this new idea that you've got? Tell us all about it.
Actually, it's not my idea. It came from the Friedman Foundation. They did a workshop down in Salt Lake this year, and I attended that. And it's an idea that's being tried in many states, and it's called an education savings account. And for those of you who've had a health savings account, and I know a lot of people didn't understand it, and it wasn't real common, basically, in a health savings account, you put your own money into an account, and then you buy a high-deductible insurance policy, and then you pay for the everyday health needs. And then you have a major deductible if you have a problem. It's tax-deferred. For those, I was self-employed for over 25 years, and so people that have their health insurance provided by an employer, it's tax-deferred. So this is an opportunity for self-employed people to operate in something similar. Well, an education savings account is the idea where the state actually would let the people that choose to opt out of the public school system, they would open an account in those people's name and call it an education savings account. They would take money from the state, like you take if the state spends $8,000 per child per year, they could put, say, 75% or $6,000 in an account, and those people have the right to spend that for their children's education. There's no one that cares more about a child's education than their parents. And so let parents decide. It would introduce competition into a system that, quite frankly, now is pretty much a monopoly. The state system, the schools are a monopoly, and they operate as a monopoly. And unfortunately, monopolies don't work very efficiently. And so if we can introduce competition through an education savings account into this plan, I think we could open up the door for parents to actually choose and have true parental choice in education.
Oh, you bet. And I'll tell you something, Ron. You know, that is the absolute difference between what you are proposing and what Common Core is all about. I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You know, another thing about Common Core, because they are federalizing the education system, all of that local level control with your school boards and whatnot, forget it. Parents, forget it. You're not even allowed to go into the school. Because I'll tell you something, right here in Spokane County, right out in Spokane Valley, we do have several public schools out there where you actually have to scan your driver's license in order to gain access into the school to see your child. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Well, that's it. And, well, you know, Mike, man, it's just a tough thing out there with Common Core, but what would this education, Ron, what would this education savings account, how would it expand things? How would it cause competition? What would it do for the people? You know, I mean, would it start to build more schools and private schools?
I believe it would. In Idaho, the Constitution has what's called the Blaine Amendment. The Blaine Amendment simply states that the state cannot give money to a Christian or a religious school of any kind. By the state giving the money to the parents would then be the one who spends the money, and they could give it to any kind of school they wanted. So what that does, typically a private school charges $3,000 to $5,000 a year per student, and then most of the people that teach in these schools do it as a ministry. They're just barely getting by. This would open the door for those people who actually at this time can't afford to pay for education twice. People pay their taxes. And yet, if they want to send their child to a private school, they have to pay again by $3,000 to $5,000 per child for school. So you could spend $15,000 a year over and above everything else just to put your child in a private school. Most people can't afford that. So the people that are least able to afford it are the ones that are locked out of the system. So I think it would introduce competition, and it would the education system would then reform itself.
Well, this sounds really exciting, Ron. I have wished for something like this for years and years. Now, my kids are older now, but the idea, I mean, the struggle we went through educating our kids in private schools, then sometimes we had to send them to public schools because we didn't have enough money. We had some homeschool education too, and it was tough, but man, this would make it so people would have the freedom to really educate their kids, wouldn't it?
It would, and it's a new idea. It's being implemented in several states right now, and the beauty in this, and actually in legislation and lawmaking, plagiarism is good. If you can find a state that has a law that works really well, you're free free to copy. You can actually use their ideas, so we can watch what's happening and we can get the best of both worlds. So there are opportunities. Education is going to change dramatically in the next little while. We all know that through the technical age and technological things that are happening. So we just need to be at the front of that. We need to, the end of the day, we need to educate our children. And it all comes to whether or not you want to train up kids to work in a factory, or you want to give them the ability to do whatever they want when they grow up. It's give them the tools to succeed in whatever they want to do. And that's what I believe education should be, needs to be in this country.
Ron, thank you for introducing this on Christian Conservative Radio. It's going to be a slow process, but we want to communicate it, and God bless you for it.
You betcha. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, as we head on out the door, all you fathers and grandfathers out there, grab that family, glorify and praise God, give your family a great big hug and a kiss, take them somewhere nice this weekend.
And Ron, would you like to close us in prayer?
Sure. Lord, we just do thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for Christian Radio, the fact that the people who have given their lives to you, Lord, who are willing to step out and do things way beyond their comfort zone, which is clearly obvious in my role as a state representative, that you would just give us the power and the ability and the strength and all of the things we need to finish the race well, Lord, to serve you in all things. So we thank you now, we praise you, and we give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.